This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. Broadcasting live on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, as well as in the evenings on WCPT 820, Chicago's Progressive Talk. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Good to be with you today. Matt and Brett here today. Wheel of Destiny in the 4 o'clock hour. Representative Mike Freiberg in the 4 o'clock hour. I'll get to all that here in a little bit. But Brett, how are you today and how was your Easter?
Pretty uneventful Easter for me. Just went out to the original pancake house, and that's about the extent of the excitement.
Well, there's nothing wrong with a little pancake action. Now that's good. That's good eating. Nothing wrong with that at all. I did a Scottish dish, which, you know, at this point, I've already probably gone. I'm Scottish. I've already veered off course. I mean, I'm even willing to admit it. I still think one of the funniest bits I ever saw in any comedy was with the Scottish cooking show, and all it was the kitchen, all it had was big pots in it, and they're like, how would I prepare this one today? I think I'll boil it. You know, it's just everything was boiled. So I did rumble the thumps, and that sounds dirtier than it is. It does. It's a really unique dish. It's fried onions and cabbage and mashed potatoes and cheese, and you bake it like a casserole. I thought it was pretty good. The rest of the family, not as eager into the rumble the thumps. But I did get to make something called rumble the thumps, which was kind of nice. Lovely church service. Went on out. Had a good time with all that. And, yeah, just overall, a really nice weekend. I had to drive back up to Duluth yesterday, drop off my daughter, who's going to school up there, and get back down to the Twin Cities where I'm at right now. But, it was nice to get together with some family and have a nice little get-together today, April Fool's Day. All right, here you go. If you do want to do a late April Fool's Day joke, get the number of your zoo. All right. And leave a message for your coworker or family member that says, Mr. Lion, L-Y-O-N, called, and leave the phone number for you. And they say, what did they call about? I said, I don't know. You need to give them a call. And you call up the zoo. And most of the time, they might not catch this. And I said, I'm here to talk to Mr. Lion. And they're going to be like, I'm sorry, Mr. Lion doesn't take any phone calls because it's a large cat. So you see, comedy ensues. It's that simple.
That's a relatively harmless one. That's a fun prank to play, though.
FYI, I got a message for you from Mr. Beaver. I'll get that number to you here.
Make sure you send it over. Very important phone call.
FYI, urgent ASAP. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. So, can I've talked a lot on this show about the way that the media clearly plays favorites in regards to Donald Trump, because there are just so many things. I mean, he threatens the judge's daughter. He basically promotes an image of Biden hogtied in the back of a truck. These things that if any other politician would do them, the media would never allow them to just say, it's just Joe Biden being Joe Biden. They would eviscerate them. And I will say this, I think they would eviscerate a lot of Republicans. But Donald Trump does it, and there is a simultaneous shrug from the news media of this country saying, there's no need for us to follow up on that. That's no big deal. That's just Donald being Donald. I say that because, when the way they'll do this is Donald Trump will do something inexcusable and they'll just ignore it. I mean, how do you not have every news story start off with the man who says he's going to turn the presidency into a dictatorship, did this today? I don't know how you do it. But when you talk about Joe Biden, who's wild. This is how they actually introduce Joe Biden stories. The media does. Joe Biden, who's wildly unpopular and struggling to get supporters, saved a puppy from a burning building today. You know, it just, that's kind of the way that they present this. Donald Trump can do no wrong. Joe Biden can do no right. And it's bizarre. And yesterday, this weekend, something happened. And I'm just sort of like, okay, are you guys sure you're okay with all this? Because this is, Donald Trump is on the verge of becoming Jim Jones, for God's sakes. Do you remember him? The loon ball guy down in Africa who basically convinced all of his followers he was God, made up a big old vat of Kool-Aid. Did he kill two house reps when they went out there to, he killed one. Shot another, I think he shot another, like the pilot or something got killed too. And then he went back and everyone drank Kool-Aid and everyone died. That's the term, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid. This is that refers back to Jim Jones, who was a psychopath who basically became a cult leader who basically considered himself to be God. And his followers considered himself to be God. It's weird enough that Donald Trump started hawking a Bible. Can you imagine the outrage if Joe Biden had a Bible option on his merch tab on his campaign website? Can you imagine how outraged the right would be? Unbelievable. But Donald Trump, he has it, and it's like, Donald being Donald. He threatened a judge again, you say. I mean, none of this is normal. Praising insurrectionists, like I said, trying to overthrow the government, threatening his opponent. None of this is normal, and yet the news media doesn't cover it. Which, once again, this weekend, we went into bizarro world. Donald Trump shared an article comparing himself to Jesus. Yes, that Jesus. You know, the guy that yesterday, you know, funny story, rise from the tomb, you know, brand new religion, off you go. He says the same man who is a biblical villain. Seriously, Donald Trump is a biblical villain. If you've never read the Bible, you need to read it because you'd be like, oh, you know, all these bad people, you know who that sounds a lot like? You'd be surprised. The biblical villain is comparing himself to Jesus himself. Now, let me make this point about the right and religion. They've already thrown out a large portion of their Bibles. They really have. As a matter of fact, when I talked about attendance in church, the story that came out last week and how it plummeted, I say I have zero doubt part of the reason that's plummeting is far-right Republicans who hate going to church and being reminded of all the good things they're supposed to do to the needy. Feed them, shelter them, give them health care, welcome in strangers from strange lands. These are all direct teachings from Jesus. And for many years, they would say, you need to ignore the Gospels. Really? Okay. You just need to read Romans and Leviticus. And you're like, what? Leviticus, have you had a bratwurst today? Sinner. I know, but they are delicious. Oh, they are delicious. He compared himself to Jesus the day before Easter. Trump, who has long been accused of narcissism. Okay, this isn't narcissism. This is a pariah complex at this point. This is Jim Jones, for God's sakes. He said, basically, he's accused of narcissism that equates to blasphemy for some Christians. On Saturday, posted an article to Truth Social that makes the religious comparison. Truth Social is the ex-president's social media company, which, by the way, having a bad day on stock market. Anyone that just did any basic research would see that that company was not worth it. They were down a quarter. I'll take a check when we're in the commercial break here, where they're at now, where they ended up. The article that Trump shared is titled, The Crucifixion of Donald Trump. You know, okay. One of the basic tenets of the law is determining the victim is. The quite literally doesn't appear to be one in New York case, but the judge rendered a guilty verdict anyway. What are you talking about? Not a victim. There's tons of victims. As a matter of fact, John Stewart last week on The Daily Show took 10 minutes to basically talk about, as Republicans keep screaming, there's no victims to his fraud case. There are tons of victims to his fraud case. And that's just the case. That's just the deal. Anyway, this article goes on to say the judge determined a penalty of a staggering amount of $455 million with interest. Trump was told he had to pay $464 million within 30 days, regardless of whether he intended to appeal. If he failed to secure payment or bond to agree to the amount, New York would seize Trump-owned properties, according to the article. Much like Pontius Pilate tried to placate the mob by merely beating Jesus nearly to death, the judge relented by lowering the bond required to a paltry $175 million to give additional and Trump an additional 10 days to secure it. Conservative Iraq Army veteran Peter Henlon flagged the share by the president. Trump just shared an article comparing his plight to that of Jesus. That's insane. He goes on to suggest Christians shouldn't vote for Trump over President Joe Biden in the upcoming election. But please go on about how Christians must vote for this guy, the guy who's claiming to be Jesus. Donald Trump's Easter messages were kind of insane, too. Trump made dozens of posts on Easter Sunday, including several that strike out at his enemies and others that compare him to Jesus. In one instance, the former president directed a happy Easter post to those he despises, including the judges and prosecution involved in his cases. This is a sharp contrast to Joe Biden, and the people online were eager to point that out. White House Deputy Press Secretary and Senior Communications Advisor Andrew Bates compared the two men in their message. Biden making Easter in the normal traditional fashion. To all those gathered in churches and homes around the world today, happy Easter. May God bless you and keep you, he wrote. He added a report from NBC about Trump's Easter statement. Trump, on the other hand, posted this Easter piece of commentary from the right-wing outlet Gateway Pundit, claiming he is the chosen one. What's happening is supernatural. Trump is the chosen one. What we're all whispering is the Trump miracle. A national political reporter for NBC similarly compared the two Easter responses, Easter messages from the two major presidential candidates. He wrote at the top this time the screenshots of the political leaders' perspective responses. Can see why Trump supporters are so offended by Biden's statement about being nice to trans people this Easter. They're looking at something more reverent and respectful like Christ as such as this. He wrote, this is from conservative Trump critic Tim Miller. He is claiming to be the Messiah. This isn't just regular narcissism. This is Jim Jones. And when people start coming for him, he's going to start making up some Kool-Aid, okay? How is it the news media of this country is ignoring a presidential candidate comparing himself to Jesus? Because I guarantee you, if Joe Biden did this, everyone would be calling for him to withdraw from the race immediately. But Trump, he's Trump being Trump. The national news media has failed us again. It's the Matt McNeil Show. We wreck the mansions of glory and AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, as well as WCPT 820 Chicago's Progressive Talk. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Yeah, Donald Trump's stock ended up down, it looked about 20 points. $20 per share. $20 per share on today.
Who could have seen that stock slide coming?
Oh, gosh, man. Yeah, if you did, I feel sorry because I guarantee you there's a lot of people that do not have a lot of money that said, I'm going to go buy me 20 shares of this because it's going to make me a billionaire. What do you mean I've already lost a third of my money? Oh, no. It's only going to get worse because there's no there. It was so grossly overinflated, and there is no way on the planet they're ever going to meet the expectations of the share price when it was opened. They're just not. I mean, and as someone said, this is a share that can, you know, most people, if you step back and evaluated it, it'd be a $2 to $4 per share cost. It's not $60. It wasn't $70 per share. It was $2 to $4, and yet I don't know how that happened. So I mentioned my daughter, and I had to drive my daughter back up to UMD. They gave me 2.5 hours to chat with her as we were driving through the lovely countryside, and we have to make sure we talk about the fact that the Republicans are sending everything in the kitchen sink to get Generation Z to sit home. And I'm starting to get a little concerned that they might be succeeding at it. And the reason why is that, as opposed to myself, most of the people who are listening, we remember the fraudulent social media of 2016. And it clearly we learned our lesson in 2020 and it got knocked to the side. I'm not sure Generation Z understands the amount of money that's getting poured into TikTok, Instagram, Snapchat, and all these by people who are trying to present themselves as just regular college kids who've had it with Joe Biden. And that's the narrative. And my daughter, who is a very smart individual, I'm very, very proud of her. She started the conversation, and I just, Joe Biden, I mean, I don't know, Dad. It just, I'll vote for him, but, you know, God, there's a lot. And I lost it. I said, what are you talking about? Don't you know what's at stake this election cycle? Don't you get what's at stake this election cycle? You sit there and the main issue is the plight of the Palestinians. And once again, I am definitely seeing the problems the Palestinians are having. I don't agree with what Israel is doing. I haven't right. Israel definitely had a right to strike back. This is, you know, beyond anything at this point. I mean, you know, annihilating a hospital was the latest one today. And they're basically, it seems like they're just trying to exterminate the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. And it's pretty, you know, hard. And because of this, the fake social media, the trolls have latched onto this and are presenting themselves. And once again, I think I got to imagine this is somewhat AI assisted as legitimate college kids who just have a problem. Sure, I lean more to the Democrats, but Joe Biden's lost me. And I went through the things that she will lose if Donald Trump wins. To be a national abortion ban. And so even states which are sanctuary states right now will be forced to basically have to, you know, defend themselves, which will be interesting to watch when that gets to the Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court has said, you know, that's a states' rights issue. But my guess is they'll immediately reverse themselves. And so, oh, no, this is a federal issue now. My guess is birth control will be gone as far as women's rights. And you already have this mentality of revisiting the male domination over female world. I saw a story, I think it was on Friday, where there are priests down or pastors down in Texas who are basically pulling all the women of the congregation aside and telling them, said, here's the deal. That husband of yours out there is a hard worker and he's doing everything. And if you go into a voting booth and you vote the opposite, you've just negated his vote. Shouldn't he have the right to have his vote count? Why would you go on out and do that? If you respect your husband, you need to make sure you're voting in sync with him, which, by the way, is a sign that they are terrified still of women and the Roe v. Wade issue. But this idea that women have to be betrothed to their husband or a man, that's going to come back. Policy-wise, I mean, I think you can look at a lot of things. I think public schools are in big trouble if Republicans win, if Trump wins. I think the public school system could end up being intentionally destroyed. I think you'll have massive book bans and book burnings. My God, of course. I mean, half the Republican Party wants to go that route anyway at this point. They wanna fill up steel drums with books they dislike and burn them, and yay, very, very fatherland sort of stuff. I think you can guarantee the Affordable Care Act will be gone. There's a decent chance that how many more, probably at least one more Supreme Court justice will be replaced by a far-right stooge. If Sonia Sotomayor goes away, and for all the people who are saying she should resign right now, I don't necessarily think she needs to resign if she feels she has the capabilities, but at the same time, you know, if basically if you're more concerned about Trump replacing her, then stop telling her to resign and get your ass in gear and go out and try to beat Donald Trump. That's your goal. Don't already concede the loss, you fools. Go campaign to win. I think you could definitely see, I mean, if all these people who are sitting there and saying, well, I'm still so upset about the Palestinians. I'm not saying you shouldn't be, but have you heard what the Republicans want to do? Line them all up and put bullets in their heads? I think that's two of them have said that. Donald Trump has said he wants to basically crack down on them with harsher than Israel is already doing. You have, so you basically, if you're going to protest vote Joe Biden because of how he's treating it, you are knowingly putting somebody in place who's going to treat him worse. The LGBTQ and the transgender community will be jailed. Will be jailed. You will, you know, you're going to have Muslims deported. And it was when I finally looked at my daughter and I said, do you understand that I'm a progressive radio host? If Donald Trump wins, there's a decent chance I'm going to get arrested or maybe even marched out back behind the radio station and had a bullet put in my head. Because that's where we're going right now if Donald Trump wins. And that's when it kind of hit her, oh, yeah, there's more on the line here than just one issue. Exactly. And I told her to come up with a selling point, and she came up with a beaut. She said, I was born with bodily autonomy, and now I don't have it. That's why I'm going to vote Democrat. And I was very happy, very proud of her for coming to this. But you need to start having these conversations with Generation Z because they're being tricked. And we need Generation Z to vote Dem this election. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Broadcasting in the evenings on WCPT 820, Chicago's Progressive Talk, and in the afternoons on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, it's the Matt McNeil Show. No, I do love that line my daughter came up with, which was, when I was born, I had bodily autonomy. Now I don't. That's why I vote Democrat. By the way, Democrats, get that on a t-shirt and start giving that away at college campuses. Giving that away. Seriously. DFL, Democrats in Minnesota, Democrats in Illinois, anywhere else that's listening to me, get a shirt that says, when I was born, I had bodily autonomy. Today, I don't. That's why I'm voting for Democrats. That's why I'm voting for Joe Biden. You're welcome, courtesy of my daughter. But you have to understand what's on the line and what they have to, Republicans have to convince you you have the luxury of a choice here. And you don't. It's the end of democracy. The guy who says he wants to be a dictator. The only way Donald Trump doesn't lose everything he has is if he wins the presidency and he throws out the separation of state the powers and he takes over the judiciary branch and basically makes civil cases go away. And he will do that. He will get rid of the state's rights to have an independent judiciary. He'll basically make federal courts the rules and basically make it to where you can never find him guilty of anything. And if you think for one second that Donald Trump's going to waltz right out of the White House when his term gets over, you're a fool. They want to start a revolution. That's why I have said, and Jordan Klepper last week on The Daily Show, he made the good point. He said, I think there's going to be another January 6th one way or the other. I think that if, and the implication I took from his point on that was, if Trump wins, there'll be another January 6th, only this one will be more a la like Kristallnacht in Germany, where it's basically to go on out there and start harassing certain people and make it legal. On the other side of it, if he doesn't, we have to remind you that January 6th, he can't risk that. I guarantee you Joe Biden's going to have the military in the mall. Kamala Harris is the vice president, so she's not going to go along with Donald Trump. So if he loses, he has 2 months to try to overthrow the government of the United States. 2 months. He can't, we haven't even gotten to the civil cases against him from the police officers on January 6th. And there's multiple ones. And each one of those is going to be $300 or $400 million. He has to win and destroy the system for him to have any power. So as you sit there and you say, Palestine, and I'm once again, I feel sorry for the Palestinians, but I don't want you to be like Nader voters in 2000 or in Bernie voters in 2016, where you feel so smug and proud of your damn selves for about 20 minutes. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, what did I just do? And you see, that's the trick the Republicans can pull off. They convince you to ignore every major red flag, alarm bell, everything that's going off that's saying, sweet Jesus, you do not want to put this guy in power. And get you to micro-focus on one issue and act like you did something noble. And I'm going to just ask you this. If you are sitting there and you're saying to yourself, I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden because of what's going on in Palestine right now, how will you feel when Trump says, line him up and shoot him on the head? Will you feel like you made a point? But Joe Biden didn't appeal to me personally. Get over your damn selves. Stop your pathetic whining. Like, he needed to come over and give me a foot rub. Screw you. If you can't see what's on the line here, then God help you. Because this is, I brought this up yesterday. So it, as I was talking to my daughter about coordinated campaigns, as we were driving up, I had to stop, get some gas. And as I got out of the car, I basically came out and I had, and there was all of a sudden my social media pages, because I'd made a point about the Trump putting the image of Biden hogtied on the back, that's been pasted on his pickup truck on his social media, and saying how insane this is. And I'd been getting hammered because, and once again, you know when Trump really does something wrong, when the social media response is over the top. And they were over the top. But in a 30-minute span, I had 14 far-right trolls say the exact same defense, word for word, organically. It's only an internet meme on the back of a pickup truck. All of them said the exact same thing. It's only an internet meme on the back of a pickup truck. Now, once again, I have zero doubt this was probably generated by AI, that someone has developed an AI program that has 300, 400 social media pages that basically is trying to push this forward. But it was amazing to see that and to be able to show her and say, this is what I'm talking about. You guys... It looks like it's Betty and she's down on the quad and she's talking about going to the game this weekend. But first and foremost, Joe Biden's lost my vote. And it's not Betty. That's Vlad sitting in Moscow. And he's not a blonde. And he's not on the quad. And he's just doing Vladimir Putin's bidding. That's the world we've got right now. And if you can't get out there and get motivated and say to yourself, for God's sakes, I want my rights defended, I can't help you. But when everything is taken away from you, your freedom of speech is taken away. When teachers are, all unions are wiped out in this country, all of them wiped out immediately, unless it's the police union. When basically people start opening fire into Mexico. You think I'm joking about, you think I'm joking about any of this stuff? These people want to do this, man. You already have book burnings. You've got Republican politicians running, burning books in ads. You've got a Trump who just said he's Jesus. There is only one choice this election cycle. You've got to vote for Joe Biden. You've just got to. I am terrified of what's going to happen if it gets to be August, September, and it's clear that Joe Biden's going to trounce Trump, because I think it's going to be, I think there's that Donald Trump is actually going to order his followers to try to kill him. I think that that's what's going to happen. And I'm terrified about that, because I can tell you right now, there's a lot of them like, just point me in the right direction. I'm scared to death of that. And I salute all the brave Secret Service people that are out there. But your reminder, this Trump is doing all this because he needs, if he doesn't win in November, he needs enough of these people to try to overthrow the government so that he doesn't ever have to face the courtroom and the verdicts and pay out what he needs to pay out. My guess is going to be is if and it will be a hoot watching a bunch of MAGA guys have to confront the 10th Mountain Division. That will be, as a U.S. Army guy, that will be a hoot. Bring some popcorn. That's not going to go well for them. But I will say, my guess is when it becomes clear that he's not going to be able to overthrow the government, my guess is that Donald Trump suddenly will appear in Saudi Arabia or in Russia, and he'll be like, "Oh, I'm here now, and they don't think it's good for me to leave, so I'm going to stay here. But I'm completely innocent. I haven't fled the country. I just always wanted to become Saudi. The House of Saud. That's what I want to do." Give you an idea of what this is interesting. Florida's Supreme Court overturned decades of legal precedent on Monday in a ruling that the state constitution's privacy protections do not extend to abortion, effectively allowing Florida's ban on the procedure after 6 weeks of pregnancy. So now there's a 6-week abortion ban in Florida. But in a separate decision released at the same time, the justices allowed Florida voters to decide this fall whether to expand abortion access. The court ruled unanimously that a proposed constitutional amendment that would guarantee the right to abortion before viability, usually around 24 weeks, could go on the November ballot. Unanimously. The rulings encapsulated the single state on a single day, how the country has grappled with the abortion issue since the U.S. Supreme Court. My guess is going to be is that you are going to see an insane effort here by DeSantis and Rick Scott down there, because I guarantee you Rick Scott's not happy about this, to get this abortion ban pushed onto the next in 2025. Try to get this, enshrining of abortion rights in the Constitution off this election, because we've seen it in Kansas. We've seen it in other states. When it's on the ballot, it's an overwhelming motivator. And I will make this, if this ballot initiative is on the ballot in Florida, Florida is definitely in play for the Democrats. Florida is definitely in play for the Democrats. The conservative-leaning court found that a 15-week abortion ban enacted in 2022 was constitutional. That ruling will allow a 6-week ban enacted last year to take effect within 30 days. So in 2022, they passed a 15-week abortion ban. Last year, they passed a 6-week one. In paving the way for the 6-week ban, the court cemented the rapid transformation of Florida, once destined for women seeking abortions in the American South, to a place of restrictive policies. But allowing a ballot measure gave supporters of abortion rights a chance to continue their national campaign to preserve access by procedure, giving voters the opportunity to directly weigh in on the issue. Ballot measures in favor of abortion rights have already succeeded in Kansas, Ohio, Michigan, and other states. Abortion rights groups in about 10 states are trying to put measures on the ballot to secure access. Florida is the largest of those states. Historically, many women from southern states with stricter abortion bans traveled to Florida to get abortions. They will now have to seek abortions much further away, perhaps Virginia or Washington, D.C. Few women know that they're pregnant at 6 weeks. The backers of abortion rights say the stricter ban, once effective, will amount to a near total prohibition. My guess is going to be that today the Republicans in Florida are saying, you know what? Let's walk back that 6-week ban. I think that there's some room here for us to negotiate this. And I think maybe we go back to the 24-week ban. I don't think that that's a bad problem. I think that that's called compromise. They're desperately going to try to make it seem like they're going to find some way to enshrine women's rights into the Constitution. But at the same time, my guess is going to be they're going to frantically be trying to pull the state a constitutional right to abortion in Florida up to 24 weeks off the ballot, because, like I said, if that's on the ballot, that single-handedly could wipe out the Republican majorities in Florida. And it, I mean, my gosh, you've seen an 8 to 10 point swing. Florida's what, like 3? I think Rick Scott has won every one of his elections by less than 2 points. If this is a 6 to 8 point swing, it's going to be a monumental victory for the Democrats in Florida. It's all on the line, people. And yeah, I'm not going to shy away from a point I made a little earlier, which is the same thing I told my daughter. It has not escaped me. This morning I had 2 death threats. I get 1 or 2 a week. I do. And they're just chumbalones. They're losers that are sitting in their parents' basement trying to be tough guys. Maybe I'll post one of them today. I saved it before they try to get rid of it. And I'll post it and say, hey, do you know who this person is and where they work? I'd love to talk with them about this. It does not escape me that my life is actually in jeopardy this election cycle. And if you are on a left-leaning news outlet, or if you're just in a news outlet that reports the truth, and Republicans get mad at you because you're pushing those liberal lies, you should be concerned too. I could end up being put into jail because I violated those free speech laws by basically saying stuff we didn't like. Or I could be taken out back by a Trump militia. So yeah, I'm taking this election cycle pretty damn seriously. And so should you. So do not sit back and think other people are going to educate everyone. Start telling people the truth. It is the Matt McNeil Show. You dug your grave, but will you fall in? It's the Matt McNeil Show, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Shay is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Shay.
Hi. Trump is saying it'll be a bloodbath if he is not elected, but actually what's worrying me even more is the bloodbath if he is elected, because it is historically true that dictators, when they take over, immediately have to move to eliminate their enemies. They can't give the opposition time to organize against them. So I fully expect there will be a staged terrorist attack in October, and I am updating my passport.
Well, I'm not, you know, Shay, I'm not shying away from the fight. Thank you very much. I appreciate the phone call. I'm not shying away from the fight, but, and one of the truth is, I think that I'm not saying that that's not going to happen. They couldn't try to pull something like that off. I am far more concerned when the election is called for Joe Biden, what's going to happen. And I'm sure the media in this country, when the Democratic politician's office or the black church or the local community center or the left-leaning media outlet is attacked and guns are fired and people are killed, I'm sure they'll come on out. It's like, you know, murder is bad and all, but come on, weren't these people really asking to be attacked? Yeah, I can see that coming. Speaking of which, I want to give Dr. Joe, who I wanted to try to get on with us today, Dr. Joe Eastman's our COVID modeling expert. All my best. He couldn't make it today or tomorrow, but he's been the one people talking about. It's like COVID is just the beginning here. We are going to start seeing more diseases jump from animals to people. I mean, the flu outbreak of 1918, that started with pigs in Kansas and jumped to humans. This is going to happen. And one of the things that we've talked about is chronic wasting disease, which is a disease that runs around in deer populations. And there's just a lot of people that, you know, don't take it seriously, and it's very serious. That's one that could possibly jump to humans at some point if it starts mutating. But then, of course, there's the bird flu. And now get ready. This one just broke today. Well, I was going to just talk about how the fact the bird flu has jumped to cattle now, goats and cows. But hey, why not? It's now jumped to people. Yeah. At least one person in Texas has been diagnosed with bird flu after having contact with dairy cows presumed to be infected. The announcement adds a worrying dimension to the outbreak that has affected millions of birds and sea mammals worldwide, most recently cows in the United States. So far, there are no signs that the virus has evolved in ways that would help it spread more easily among people, though. That's our only saving grace. The patient's primary symptom was conjunctivitis. An individual is being treated with an antiviral drug and is recovering. That's good news as well, said the CDC. The Department of Agriculture announced in the first case of the dairy herds in Texas and Kansas last week, and a few days later, an additional herd in Michigan. Preliminary testing suggests that cows in New Mexico and Idaho might also be infected. Oh, this, yeah, great. The virus has been identified as the same version, H5N1, an influenza subtype that is circulating in North American birds right now. The CDC is working with state health departments to monitor others who may have been in contact with infected birds and animals, the agency says. But it's only the second case of H5N1 bird flu in people in the United States. The first was in 2022. The risk of the general public remains low, experts said. Testing and analysis is ongoing. Many unanswered questions. There is a rapidly evolving situation, the USDA said in its announcement last week. Cows were not thought to be a species at high risk. The fact that they're susceptible, the virus can replicate, can make them sick. That is something I wouldn't have predicted, said Richard Webby, an influenza virologist from St. Jude's. But this year, reports of sick cows began to emerge in Texas and New Mexico. Dead birds were also found on some of these farms, and laboratory testing confirmed some of the cows were infected with bird flu. While the virus is often fatal in birds, it appears to be causing relatively mild illnesses, though, in cows. But once again, as this stuff mutates and changes, how many generational cycles does it take through cows before all of a sudden that's a very different world? Currently, though, it's not killing animals, and they seem to be recovering, said Dr. Joe Armstrong, a veterinarian cattle production expert at the University of Minnesota Extension. Last week, the USDA said there was no plans to depopulate or kill affected herds, which is the standard procedure with poultry flocks. The disease is primarily affecting older cows, which have developed symptoms that include a loss of appetite, low-grade fever, and significant drop in milk production. I'm presuming at this point conservatives are saying, well, just put the cows on the boat and send them out in fire like the Vikings used to. Because is that how they actually wanted to treat the elderly during the COVID outbreak? Yes, it is. The milk that cows can produce is often thick and discolored. Yeah. Well, wait a second. You say this is not a big deal, but if all of a sudden it starts affecting the milk production, that's going to be a pretty big freaking deal. That's going to be a really big freaking deal. Scientists have been closely tracking the infections in birds and sea animals and now cows. So far, it doesn't seem to have the ability to spread efficiently between people, though. That's the only saving grace here. The 2012 scientists showed that H5N1 was able to spread through air between ferrets, a popular model for studying transmissions of respiratory viruses, after acquiring 5 mutations. The sample of bird flu isolated from a Chilean man last year had 2 mutations that indicate adaptation into infecting mammals. Yeah, I'm a little concerned. I think you should be too. It's in dairy cattle, and it's in dairy cattle across the country at this point. I'm pretty sure I imagine in Texas the same, keep your federal noses out of our business, or all of a sudden say, hey guys, we're hurting here. We need the CDC to get in here and give us a hand. Because I can't imagine the devastation to Texas would happen if all of a sudden, not only could you had to start killing off herds because the avian flu was now spreading and was taking out your milk production, but can you imagine what Texas would be like if all of a sudden they couldn't do their briskets and their barbecues or anything like this? I'm not meaning to be a light of it. That's like an institution down there. I can't even imagine. But, I mean, of course, some idiots will say, it tastes good to me still. You can see that cab coming down the
side
street.
Side of bleach with it.
Side of bleach. Just jam a light bulb up your backside and enjoy. All right. Hey, Chicago, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Minneapolis, St. Paul, hour two up next. Hour two on your April Fool's Day. I'm your fool, man. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Good to have you with us today. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. So Representative Mike Freiberg's going to join us here. He's 43B, but he's not coming today and the rest of this summer as a representative. This is not like Democrat of the Day or anything like that. No. You see, when I had Michael Broadcorp on the air talking Vikings, then all of a sudden I had Dr. Joe on the air talking Timberwolves, and I got a message out of nowhere from the representative, Mike Freiberg. Hey, Mike says, I want to be your Twins guy. All right, fine. You can see the level of thought and curation we do into this show. Yeah, all right, good enough, Ray. So the representative, Mike Freiberg, is going to be our Twins expert for the season. Well, we'll see how it goes today.
We don't need a Minnesota Wild expert. They're pretty depressing.
Do I want to? I don't. And no.
Here's how they're going to lose in the first round this year.
No, I don't need a Minnesota State Mankato, although fantastic, guys. I love that story that you guys winning both the men's and women's Division II titles. That is fantastic. I don't need a Winona State update. I don't. No. But we'll do the Twins because I got some questions. I've got some. Let's see what it gets. I'd love to get his point of view on things. That's coming up a little bit later on. We'll debut that news segment. Also, we got a lot of things to give away a little bit later on. Sexy Liberal is coming back to Minneapolis, St. Paul. It is the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Save the World Comedy Tour, April 13th at the Pantages Theater. It's Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, Frangela, Steph, Cliff Schechter is going to be in town for that. You want to get tickets for this. We are going to give away a pair of tickets sometime this hour for that as well, because we got another week to get those tickets to give away. But of course, it is time first and foremost for the triumphant return of Wheel of Destiny. Now, in case you missed what we're... Really?
We got to get some music on here for spinning the wheel.
Okay, so wait a minute. You got music for this, but I got to do the click, 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 click. Okay, great. All right, we need to have a production meeting at some point, okay? I like the music, though. That's nice. This is... Hey, newlyweds, I've got a question for you. All right, so in case you missed it, of course, Kathy Griffin is coming to the Pantages Theater October 11th for My Life on the PTSD list. Tickets are available right now, so you can go get those tickets, or you could win. We got pairs of tickets to give away. I got four. Now, all you had to do this entire weekend was go to AM950's Facebook page and interact in any way with any of the Kathy Griffin posts that we had. You could like them. You could repost them. You could comment on them. If you did, your name went into the Wheel of Destiny. And as you can see here, there are names here. And we're going to spin this sucker four times. Everyone that wins will basically get a pair of tickets to go see Kathy Griffin coming up here in October. All right. Are we ready to do this?
I think I might even have some sound effects for you.
I'll just go with the click.
All right, you spent
the entire production budget on the music, which is a good music.
That's a good point, yeah.
I'll just do what we do. Give the first spin to the Wheel of Destiny.
Here we go.
All right. Clickety click 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 clickety click 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 clickety click 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 click.
Gonna stay there, yes.
Yes. James Freibau. Freibnow. James Freibnow. James, congratulations. You have got yourself a pair of tickets to go see Kathy Griffin over on My Life on the PTSD list. All right, let's remove James's name from the Wheel of Destiny.
There you go.
He's gone.
James can't win again.
He can't win again. Let's roll this sucker one more time.
Number two, the drama. Here we go.
James is running there. All right. Clickety click, 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 click. You sputter quick. Clickety click, 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 click. Click. All right, Larry Czarnecki, Czarnecki. Larry, congratulations. You have won yourself a pair of tickets to go see Kathy Griffin in October at the Pantages Theater. That's two down. We got two more to do here.
Let's shuffle these names.
What's that?
We're going to shuffle these names a little too.
There we go. Shuffle them back up again. Aren't we being sneaky, sneaky, sneaky? All right. Hit number three.
Here we go.
Clickety click 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 click. Mary, why not Mangan? Mary Mangan, congratulations, Mary! You have got yourself a pair of tickets to go see Kathy Griffin, My Life on the PTSD List. That is at the Pantages Theater, October 11th. And there we go. We're down to our last pair. So this is our final pair giveaway on the Wheel of Destiny for this week. Whenever you're ready.
Here we go.
It's radio. Clickety click 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 clickety click 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 click. And we got Shannon Mangan. I wonder if related. Shannon as well. She must have made a comment or done something there. Shannon, congratulations. You've got yourself a pair of tickets as well to go see Kathy Griffin, My Life on the PTSD List. Congratulations. We're not done with the Wheel of Destiny. This sucker's going to come back again.
I promise you, we will have more giveaways with this wheel that you will want to win. So keep following our social media accounts.
That's called a preview there. So, all right. And then, of course, you can go get tickets to go see Kathy Griffin. Once again, October 11th, it's the Pantages Theater. Tickets are on sale right now. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. I should mention as well our pre-tailgate event for Stephanie Miller coming up here on the 13th for their show at the Sexy Liberal show coming up here at the Pantages Theater. We're going to have tickets available. This is going to be a ticketed event, but tickets are going to be available for this. And yeah, we're looking forward to this. This is going to be a lot of fun. The event is going to be where did it go? Sorry, I'm shuffling through my briefs here. There we go. I think I got it there. Yeah. So this is going to be at Minneapolis on the Rocks. This is on the Rocks, which, if you don't know where this is at, it's 1300 Nicollet Mall down there. It's basically in it's located in the Nicollet restaurant there with the cabaret there. So that's where you're going to find it. It's going to be a lot of fun coming up here, the Nicollet Diner down there on 13th and Nicollet. This is going to be from 4:30 to 7:00, the night of the Stephanie Miller show over at the Pantages Theater. There's going to be a cost involved. It's a ticketed event. This is not open to the public. You have to get tickets for this. We are going to have, is this going to be this week? We're going to get the ticketing opening on this?
Oh, yeah. We'll have a ticketing. Yeah. This week. Yep.
This week.
Even possibly by tomorrow, we should have it.
You see his crack staff here. clickety click click click. So, and there's limited space here. So if you do want to join us for the pregame tailgate for Stephanie Miller, especially any of the great listeners who are coming in from outside the metro area, we have people that come in from Iowa, from the Dakotas, from northern Minnesota. You want to come on down, you're spending the time, make sure you maximize your event here by showing up for the tailgate event once again on the Rocks. That is going to be, once again, the 13th, starting at 4:30. Tickets are going to be available this week. You have to have tickets to get on it. And there are not going to be tickets available at the door, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
It's
going to be only online, so you need to get those tickets. See, all sorts of things going on. This is once again, the listener appreciation months that we're doing this. Because you guys are awesome. That's why. And that's the truth. You guys are just awesome, and we're very lucky that we have you. And so thank you very much for all you guys do. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. By the way, I just want to mention my wife and daughter, they decided because it's spring break for their school, so my wife took today off, and they went to a movie. Now, you know, we just had all those Oscar films. My wife and my daughter, take a guess at what film they decided to go see.
Oh, I don't even know what's out right now, to be honest. outside of the new Ghostbusters movie.
All right.
It wasn't that one, was
no,
it?
No, it's not that one. It's Godzilla and Kong.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Electric
yes.
Boogaloo. I don't know. I don't think it's Godzilla and Kong Electric Boogaloo.
I don't think that's quite the tagline.
If it is, it's going to be a humdinger of a film. Didn't they fight Mecha Godzilla last time in that damn movie?
I've lost track on these. Like, I thought they waited like 20 years to follow up on the King Kong movie, didn't they? Or something?
Well, okay. I liked the first one of these movies when they first did this. I did. Because it felt like they put some thought into it, like the Japanese versions of these movies. But now they even themselves are like, the other actors and the script, they don't matter. It's just lizards and giant monkeys pounding on each other. That's all it is now. And one of them's got like a robot hand now. What is that? How do they get the robot hand?
Michael Bay direct this movie? I don't think it has the dignity
of Michael Bay at this point. I'm a little concerned about where this is going. But that's the classic piece of celluloid my wife and my daughter have decided to go see this afternoon. Godzilla, lizards and monkeys fighting.
Are you a little surprised when you're, oh, we're going to the movies. What are you going to see?
Yeah, no, Godzilla. I was stunned when that one came on out. You're not going to go see Madam Web? Whoa, Madam Web seems like a little bit more higher dignity there, at least,
I don't know if anyone's seeing Madam Web.
Well, it's
that got panned.
You know, that guy worked with my mother on the Amazon when they're studying spiders. Come on, man. Stay up with the plot. I have no idea. I'm not about to go see that one. Because Sony, whenever they get away from Disney trying to make a Spider-Man movie, garbage. Just garbage. They deserve every bit of grief that they're given for that, getting for that. Congratulations to our good friends up in the Duluth area. I was up there yesterday. Lovely. Love that town. That's a gorgeous town. About 800 boxes of cereal, mostly Cheerios. You know where I'm going with this. As well as $50,000 were collected in the first week since community organizers took a public disc from Park Point properties owner Kathy Cargill and turned it into a goodwill game. The Duluth Cheerio Challenge asked residents to donate cereal or money that can be divvied up between local food shelves and other similar organizations, Chum, Salvation Armies, the Domino Center, the Union Gospel Mission. The call to action followed the interview Cargill of the family billionaires gave Wall Street Journal about her plans for the 20-some parcels of land she purchased on Park Point over the past few years. Previously, Cargill had ignored interview requests, including several from the Star Tribune. In the story, Cargill said shared neighborhood improvement plans she had been considering, like pickleball courts and coffee shop, but no longer planned to do that. Now, she said the Duluth mayor, Roger Reinert, who had just wondered what she was doing, kind of peed in his Cheerios and said, and by the way, once again, do not have breakfast at the Cargills. I think my suggestion, do not have breakfast with the Cargills. All right. She said with all the questions surrounding her purchase, she's not going to do anything to benefit the community. Well, she is a delight. It's rare to see anyone unify the people of this state as much as Kathy Cargill has at this point. Duluthians had a response. The Cheerio Challenge Facebook page went up on Monday and quickly collected a following that has surpassed $1,200 people by the week's end. Rather than tinkle in the old Cheerios, we're going to collect Cheerios, give them to those in need, said organizer Chad McKenna. It was an introductory video that was shared more than 450 times. On Monday, organizers shared the final results in an office at the drop-off spot, backed by hundreds of boxes of cereal, ranging from the good old-fashioned Honey Nut Cheerios to Berry Berry Cheerios, an underrated element there, to some bulk off-brands as well. Spokesperson Kate Van Deel said that the $50,000 collected was an estimate because some of the organizations have been involved with other simultaneous fundraising drives. No word yet from Kathy Cargill on this, she could have said something like, get those Cheerios. I don't know. It could be. She sounds like just a compassionate, caring individual, doesn't she? She just does.
Absolutely, yeah.
She just, oh. Humanitarian. Yeah. Anyway, enjoy Duluth. Well done. That is, well, I mean, if you live by a lake that size, you know how to troll. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on your Monday.
Feels good to see the world getting red.
I don't know about you.
It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. By the way, I have been here for 14 years, man.
Yeah, you and I were just talking about that during the break.
My daughter is visiting colleges. She was 2 when I started here. Wow. That's my youngest daughter. Gosh, how old was Charlie?
She hadn't even begun her school career yet then.
No, she hadn't. She hadn't. Charlie would have been 8. He would have been 8. Wow, he's just getting ready to graduate college. Hey, it's been a good 11 years. As a matter of fact, I meant to bring this up because in the calendar, it lists the day. It was, the 22nd of March is the actual anniversary of me starting here. And I had multiple people come up and say, you know, happy anniversary. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. 14 freaking years, man. Thanks to everybody, man. This has been an interesting ride. I can tell you that. Hope to keep it going. We'll see how that goes. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I'd completely forgotten about this case until Friday. Pretty much every major news outlet started covering it. The trial begins this week for the Prior Lake man accused of killing a teenager, wounding 4 others, and a stabbing on the Apple River in Somerset, Wisconsin in 2022. Nikolai Mew's trial started today in St. Croix County with jury selection. Mew is charged with 1 count of first-degree intentional homicide and 4 counts of first-degree intentional attempted homicide in connection with the July 30th, 2022 incident, which killed Isaac Schumann, 17, of Stillwater. Mew, 54, has claimed self-defense in the chaotic incident and told investigators he feared for his life during the confrontation, which allegedly began as Mew separated from his group and encountered another group of tubers while searching for a lost cell phone. According to criminal charges, Mew was asked by a group to go away before the physical confrontation ensued. Video footage detailed the charges allegedly show multiple people yelling at Mew, with some claiming he was looking for little girls. The charges allege Mew had an opportunity to leave the confrontation, but moments after he pulled out his knife while being confronted by 2 women. According to charges, the camera panned away from the scene at the exact moment the commotion starts and multiple people converge towards Mew. When the camera pans back, Mew is shown falling backwards into the water and then being slapped with an open hand on his face while lying in the water. Mew is then shown getting back to his feet, holding a knife with the blade extended. When he is shoved back by someone wearing yellow swimming trunks. Mew then begins emerging from the water with the knife in his right hand. While doing so, the individual in the yellow swimming trunks appear to be advancing to shove Mew again. While doing so, Mew stabs the individual in the yellow swimming trunks in the abdomen while being shoved back into the water on his back. In the moments that followed, Mew is being allegedly shown appearing to stab other people before backing away and running off. Witnesses told police Mew had punched or slapped one of the women confronting him before he was punched and fell into the river. According to the Star Tribune, the state expects to call 44 witnesses with an additional 21 witnesses available if needed. If convicted, he could face a sentence to life in prison. It comes down to, and in how often does this happen? It comes down to the moment where the conflict, the guy pans the camera away. But if that's what happened, if Mew punched and slapped one of the women confronting him, and I'm sorry, if I am on the show, if I'm on the tubes and I'm going down the river, and it's been a long time since I've done that, but I've done that a few times. And all of a sudden I start noticing some guy who's up on the bank of the river seeming to look, I don't know what he's doing. I don't think it's irrational for people to say, hey, what are you doing up here? Now, I think it's a little irrational for the person to say, with, you know, unless you've seen them doing it, that, you know, they're, you know, you're accusing them necessarily being, you know, a perv going after kids. But at the same time, regardless of whether or not the case may be, I don't have any question on why any group would say, who is this guy up here on the side of the river? If he was being confronted and he pulls the knife and he punches or slaps one of the women, he created the situation himself. And I don't, you know, I'm hoping that if that's the case, if he had the opportunity to leave, to walk away, to not get this to a point where there's someone who's dead. And I get, you could say, well, I was scared. Yeah, but you were scared because you inserted yourself into the situation. I keep thinking about the fraudulent trial of Kyle Rittenhouse, where that crap-ass judge in Wisconsin basically went into that courtroom saying, this little boy ain't going to serve a day in jail as long as I'm the judge of this case. Because that was an absolute embarrassment of judicial mismanagement. Ugh. But it was the same thing. He inserted himself into a situation that he caused. You can't just start throwing gasoline and lit matches at things and then acting shocked, I say, when a fire breaks out. That's called arson. And in this case, it seems like, at least from this story, that's kind of the story that's coming out, is that you kind of, if you had the chance to walk away from this conflict and instead you escalated it by slapping one of the women. And by the way, once again, it sounds like the two women were there. I'm not sure if you know, it doesn't sound like either one of them was killed, but at least they'll be able to have two people independently be able to say what happened at that moment. Well, then, that's the hitch point. And yeah, you know, you're getting attacked and you're in the water, you got your knife out there. But if the entire instance was initiated by you not backing away when you had the opportunity, you know, this is, once again, it feels like this is just from what I'm reading about and from this story, and this is Bring Me the News. From what I'm reading from the story, it sounds like you basically did everything in your power to instigate this. And now you're basically saying, well, I'm the innocent victim. Well, it does, you know, and maybe you can see if you can get that Wisconsin judge from the Rittenhouse case, because he clearly seems to be trying to do whatever he can to get people off the hook in this case. And then you can, you know, basically be, yeah, there. I don't know if that's true. I mean, once again, the trial is going to dictate a lot here. But I will also make this point. So say that you are in this situation and someone does get stabbed, which it does sound like the video does show indeed someone getting stabbed. At that point, how do you not just say, okay, stop. This guy's hurt. You know, we need to stop. I don't want anyone else getting hurt here. Let's get him the help he get. That's not the case. Apparently then it was, you know, swinging away with the knife. So 952-946-6205. I can tell you one thing. If it was a gun, probably be a lot more dead people. And that's the truth. I don't have any problem saying that. I know gun rights guys go crazy when I say this, but it was a knife. One person died. If it was a gun, would have anyone from that inner tubing crew, would any of them survived? I'm not sure. Probably not. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Once again, they're hoping to have that wrapped up here before too long. All right, we got to talk to the Twins. I got a Twins correspondent. Mike Freiberg joins us when we do come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. Love,
I. We're gonna win, Twins. We're gonna score. We're gonna win, Twins. Watch that baseball start. Crack down.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. By the way, before I get into the Twins stuff, let's give away a pair of tickets to the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Save the World Comedy Tour. April 13th, the Pantages Theater. Steph, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, Frangela, Cliff Schechter is going to be there. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Caller number five, you're going to be there as well for the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Save the World Comedy Tour. Good luck. Caller number five, you win a pair of tickets to go see Steph. Good luck with that. Mike Freiberg is kind enough to join us. Now, he is a sitting Minnesota House rep, also representing an area where Judy Garland's ruby slippers were buried for 7 years. But we're not talking about politics. We're not talking about ruby slippers. I got a contact. He basically gets in touch with me. Mike gets in touch with me and says, I know you've got Broadcorp for the Vikings and Dr. Joe for the T-Wolves. Do you have anyone for the Twins? I said, I don't got anyone for the Twins. He goes, can I be the Twins guy? I'm like, okay, you can be the Twins guy. But I guess the first thing I have to do here is check this out here, make sure this is legit. Mike Freiberg, kind enough to join us to talk about the Minnesota Twins. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Great. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing very well, sir. So let's get into the resume, the CV here. What is your justification to be the official AM950 expert on the Twins?
Well, I mean, I heard a few of your shows with Michael Broadcorp discussing the Vikings, and I figure I don't know that I'm more qualified, but I would get, based on what I know about Michael Broadcorp, I'd say I'm comparably qualified to discuss the Twins as he is to talk about the Vikings. I mean, I started out, I will admit, as a Fairweather fan in the 1991 World Series. That's really when I started watching them, but I stuck with it through some pretty lean years,
yeah,
in the mid-90s and late 90s, and watched them a lot, frequently with my dad. So I follow them very closely. And it's exciting too that we've started a new season already.
Marty Cordova, how about that? There you go. You went through some real lean years there for a while.
Hey, he was Rookie of the Year. Don't tag him, Marty Cordova. He was pretty solid for a year or two there. I think he went on the injured list later in his career with a sunburn.
Yeah,
but at least when he was with the Twins, he was okay for a year or two.
Was it Baltimore? He was at Baltimore and he got sunburned, and that was he was on the injured reserve list for that. That's a bad sunburn, man. You might want to put some sunscreen on before you go out there. All right. So first of all, let's just talk about the team as a whole. They played Kansas City. They opened up in Kansas City. They're off today. They will play two in Milwaukee, opening up for Milwaukee's home series. Then they play their home series against Cleveland starting on Thursday with likely an off day on Friday before they finish out the weekend. Your thoughts going into this in Kansas City, what did you think about the lineup and the setup that they had for the Twins?
Well, I mean, you know, they've had some injury problems. So, I mean, it seems like they avoided major injuries last year, like 2 years ago, and they could barely fill out the roster, but I mean, just, you know, going into the series with Duran, Thielbar, Topa already on the injured list, it seemed like they were going to be able to make do. And then you have Royce Lewis getting injured already in game one. That guy can't even catch a break. I mean, two ACL tears in 2 years. All things considered, I think the first series went fairly well with the exception of game three. But, you know, you win your opening series, that's certainly not a bad way to start the season.
We should mention here that the first game was a good win. That second game, it took them coming back. They were, you know, Vasquez comes up in the late innings with bases loaded and one out, doubles up, and you're like, okay, this is gonna go bad. They end up really putting the pressure on in the eighth and ninth inning. They get the win there. So, you know, that game as a whole wasn't great until the very end, and then yesterday was an abomination. I guess maybe let's talk about Ober, because he didn't make it two innings. He gave up eight earned runs. He looked atrocious.
Oh, he looked, there's no sugarcoating that. I mean, he did look terrible. I mean, he's never been very good against Kansas City for some reason. It's not like they're a powerhouse, but I guess it seems like a lot of pitchers have one team that they just can't really get past, or pitchers have a hitter they can't get past. It seems like that's Kansas City for him. Hopefully it's just a off day for him and not like a foreshadowing of a poor year or anything for him, because he's been one of their best pitchers the last couple of years. I mean, he's been pretty solid.
Well, and I think that it's the problem is, and it wasn't just him, I mean, that pitching staff looked very hittable. Kansas City is not exactly the Broadway Bombers here. It's a team that at times has the ability to hit, and Witt is pretty good, But for them to get thrashed around like that, that was more than just a little concerning, because once again, our strength is supposed to be our bullpen, and our bullpen just barely kind of got it, you know, got the rest of the game done. It's just that was a brutally long game yesterday.
Yeah, well, I mean, the top of the bullpen, Griffin Jackson, Brock Stewart looked good in game one. And, you know, I mean, like Daniel Duarte and Jay Jackson, I don't know that they're the highest leverage guys you want, but at least, you know, they had decent outings yesterday in game three. You know, like I said, in Kansas City, I mean, they with Lugo and the guy, the lefty, his name is escaping me, started game one. I mean, they have some decent starting pitching, too, so... the Twins were able to come back in game two. I mean, I still feel, you know, some of their hitters seem to be doing pretty well. You know, Correa has gotten some hits. Byron Buxton looks pretty good. So, I mean, I don't feel like the sky is falling quite yet. I'm sure, you know, if we speak again in a week, I might feel totally different. Kirilloff looked pretty good so far.
Well, and if I could say Lopez looked fantastic in that opener. And Joe Ryan, Joe Ryan kept us in that game in the second game for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. I feel like the pieces are there. Carlos Santana's looked decent. Edward Julian, I think, is going to have a good year. So I don't know. I think the pieces are there. Hopefully Ober just had an off day. You know, we'll get some people back from the injured list and things will start going better.
His ERA right now is 54.
I knew it would be up there. I mean, you give up 9 or 10 runs in less than 2 innings, that's going to happen.
I'm not as well. I think after this first series, I am a little okay. I mean, Royce Lewis aside, and I'll get back to Royce here in a second, I do feel somewhat okay about this hitting. Although, once again, the home run leader still is Royce Lewis with that one hit. But, you know, Byron Buxton's hitting 300 right now. You know, Santana, 273. Carlos Correa, 273. You do have the cogs here. I guess the question here is whether or not, you know, I'm very concerned about Buxton. I mean, I call him Mr. Glass. He breaks way too easily. But I do, you know, I agree with you. Edward Julian is a good kid. I mean, it's so far one series down, he's hitting 200, but, you know, it's kind of thrust into the situation. Kirilloff is looking a little bit better as well. Your thoughts just on the hitting alone? I mean, it did seem somewhat inconsistent considering yesterday we got 0 runs, and on the second game it took till the late innings for us to get the bats alive.
Yeah. I mean, I do, you know, that health is always a concern with Buxton. I mean, not just Buxton, but also Correa and obviously Royce Lewis, as we've already seen. I mean, those three could kind of make or break the season. I mean, as long as if we can get Royce Lewis back, and it sounds like it might be about 2 months. I think, you know, with, you know, platooning of Castro and Farmer, possibly, if, you know, to replace him at third, I mean, they're obviously not going to replace Royce Lewis's bat, but they're okay. You know, they're competent, and, you know, as long as Buxton keeps looking healthy and Kirilloff is, you know, health is a question with him too, I suppose, just as much. He's had some issues the last couple of years. So, so far, at least, it's encouraging that at least, you know, Buxton and Correa and Kirilloff seem to be doing well and avoiding the injury bug. I mean, it's only 3 games in, so who knows? Anything could change. But I don't know. I do think the pieces are there, and if you can get some, you know, veteran leadership from Carlos Santana and, you know, Wallner has a good season again. I do feel like they definitely have potential to be a good hitting team.
So the starters, rounding out our starting rotation, Varland goes tomorrow against Milwaukee. You've got Paddock going on the second Milwaukee game. That's going to be our 5-man starter for the time being. I mean, obviously the bad outing by Ober kind of sets the stage that, you know, you need Varland and Paddock to start, one of them at least, to start off showing some potential here. Your thoughts on the back half of the starting rotation? Do you think that there's, you know, we have some ability there to, you know, Milwaukee's been a hitting club. I mean, I hope we can keep them in check. And once again, I understand this is very early in the season, but it should be noted during spring break, you know, that we were giving up a lot of runs and we weren't hitting a lot. And that made me a little concerned. I'm a little wondering if the late part of the rotation in Varland and in Paddock is one of them can come through and at least get that, you know, 3 ERA, keep the runs down a little bit and keep Twins in the games in those games.
I think certainly the potential is there. I mean, we saw both of them come out of the bullpen late last season in September and October. They both looked really good in that role. You know, Paddock is still coming back from his own injury issues, just, you know, to continue with that theme. But he's certainly been good in the past. And from what I heard, he was throwing really hard in spring training, Arland as well. I mean, I think, you know, we saw a little bit of Arland there. He was a little off or on as a starter last year, but I think he's got some experience now and hopefully pitching really well out of the bullpen at the end of last year gave him some confidence. So I don't know. I mean, it kind of remains to be seen, I think, with both of them. The other option was going to be Anthony DeSclafani instead of Varland.
Yeah.
And frankly, I think, you know, Varland probably has a higher upside than DeSclafani. So, I don't know. I'm kind of excited to see what the two of them can do. I think, in terms of, if you compare them to most teams, you know, fourth and fifth starters, I think they're definitely have a pretty high upside and I think could end up doing pretty well.
You brought in DeSclafani. He is gone for the entire season. He had to have surgery, and he's not scheduled to even be back by the beginning of next year. Kepler, day-to-day right now. Lewis, he's on the 10-day injury list, but they're not expecting him back for the entire month of April at this point. You do have to – this is not the first year of this, man. This team has a bad habit of starting off the season with a lot of injuries. And part of me is convinced that the strength and conditioning coaches at the Twins, they're not doing something right because they should be somewhat ready for these games to begin. It should not take until the end of April before people are in play-in shape.
Yeah, you may have a point there. I've wondered the same thing. I mean, I know they changed their head trainer after the 2022 season, I think it was. I mean, that year they ended with everyone being injured, which, I mean, if you had to pick either starting the season with a bunch of injuries or ending the season with a bunch of injuries, I guess I'd go for the starting the season with the injuries option.
Yeah. Well, as long as they do come back by the end of the season, it's not those longer-term injuries.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with that on that wholeheartedly.
Well, yeah, but, it looked like last year at the end of 2022, I mean, I remember they were having left-handers starting – you know, mediocre left-handed hitters starting against left-handed pitching just because they had no other option. And it was basically a triple-A team. So, you know, I do feel like certainly last year went better. Even now, I think where the team is at is a better place than last year. And that's even with all of the injuries that we've already been talking about. I didn't even think to bring up Kepler.
Yeah. I am not a fan of this, and this is I think the third year in a row that we're seeing a lot of people on the injury list to begin the season. And Royce, we need Royce if we're going to have any chance at really going further than we did last year. We have to have him for a substantial part of the season.
I totally agree. I mean, yeah, he's definitely the most exciting hitter we've had in years, I would say. So if he could just stay on the field, it would make it that much more exciting.
Rocco, just your thoughts on Baldalli, in regards to, is he, obviously, if the team collapses, you know, his job is in jeopardy. But what is a successful year to you? Just getting back to the playoffs, winning a playoff series, is that successful? Or do you feel as if he needs, even with the losses to our starting pitching rotation, do you think he needs to basically get, you know, another series at least going a little further into the playoffs for him to have what would be considered a successful season?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, I mean, they're playing in the weakest division in
the
majors. So,
yes.
He seems like a good manager. I don't know that his job is on the line necessarily or anything like that, but I think certainly a lot of people would be disappointed if they don't make the playoffs. Even with all of this, I expect they probably will make the playoffs just because the AL Central is just such a weak division. I think we have enough parts there to be able to do that. I think that would put the t- team in a good position for at least the first round of the playoffs once again. I mean, you know, I would expect whoever wins the AL Central is going to be the number three seeded team, so they'll play the last seeded wild card team and at home, and that worked very well for the Twins last year, being able to break the 18-year curse against Toronto and not just win a game, but sweep a series there. I mean, obviously, it then kind of went downhill against Houston, but so hopefully they can get a little further this year. I do, assuming they're, in position at the trade deadline, hopefully they can, my hope would be they could get another top line starter to go with Pablo Lopez just to start game two of the series, because they haven't really filled that hole with Sonny Gray leaving. But
well, I would have suggested that a few weeks ago. Personally, I mean, you might want to go get one of those guys because they're good. They've got the hitting that they could trade for it. They seem to be stubborn. And I also, you don't know what's available in the market. And that's understandable. But at the same time, I think you have cogs you could trade to get another starter. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. They need another starter if they're going to make a deep run.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So here's the final thing I've got for you. And this is where you can prove your Twins love. What's the best thing to eat at Target Field?
Oh, the Hmong Union Kitchen, they have, I forget what it's called, but they have this like bratwurst thing with like Hmong seasoning on it. I got it last year for the first time. It was really good.
You get it with the dragon? You get it with the dragon sauce, the real spicy stuff?
Yeah. I like spicy food. That was really good.
Oh, that's quality. The Tony Oliva Cuban pork sandwich is very tasty. And then Soul Bowl. I'll give Soul Bowl. I've also enjoyed Soul Bowl quite a bit. There are a lot of, let's face it, it's food compared to 20, 30 years ago at baseball stadiums. The food today is so much better than it used to be.
That's true. I mean, I don't know, but the dollar dogs at the Metrodome that you could throw at Chuck Knoblauch were pretty tasty too.
Wow, you are showing your Twins cred at this point. Although I do not condone throwing hot dogs at Chuck Knoblauch, okay? That just did happen a lot.
I don't either.
So, oh, gosh, remember how mad Tom Kelly got at the fans for that? Oh,
he went out into left field and tried to calm them down. Yeah. That was something I've never seen before.
All right, Mike, you are our Twins guy. I'll tell you what we're going to do. One thing really quick. Got two games with Milwaukee, three games set with the Indians, or excuse me, the Guardians. Thank God, I'll correct that. It should have been corrected a long time ago. The Cleveland Guardians, three games at home. How do you think the rest of this week is going to go? Do you think there are, how many wins? Three, four?
I would guess about three or four. I think we have a good shot against Milwaukee. I don't know. I assume we'll be facing their number four and number five starters. And, I feel like Varland and Paddock can go up, but certainly against most teams, number four and five starters. You know, Cleveland, I think they may have one or two good starters, but, you know, I think Pablo Lopez will be pitching game one of the Cleveland series. So, I like our odds in any game that he's starting. I would say three or four games would probably be about my guess.
I'm going to hope for four because the next series after that is the Dodgers at Target Field. And, smart money or not, I'm going to tell you that's going to be a tough series for us to take. I think we can get one out of that series. I think we're going to be happy. So we'll have to see. We'll have you back on, Mike, here in probably 2 weeks, and we'll do an update on the Twins and how things are going, okay?
That sounds great.
All right, Mike Freiberg, Twins expert and, of course, representative from the fine district. Mike, what is your district? It's 36B?
43B, Golden
43.
Valley, Robbinsdale, Crystal, and Plymouth.
43B. There you go. I don't know the numbers. I know where you're at. Mike, as always, all my best in St. Paul. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks about the Twins, okay?
Okay, sounds good, Matt. Thank you.
Take care. Mike Freiberg, our Twins expert. And, yes, the Guardians. All right. Yeah, that name should have been changed. My apologies. All those names need to go away. We'll take a break. Come on back. Ted, by the way, from Cottage Grove is our winner of the tickets to go see Sexy Liberal. Congratulations, Ted. We'll have another pair to give away tomorrow right here. Just let you know about that. We'll take a break, come back, wrap up the show for your Monday. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Yeah, and once again, for people out there, but I call it for politics. You know, this is part of life, man. It really has. I was up on Axios, and they have done now the story about this group that wants to take away Interstate 94 and turn it into a boulevard and do this. Now, I'm going to post once again, I get dreamers. Dreamers are, you know, I think they're an important part of our society. But you just can't ignore a reality and think it's going to solve a problem if you have a major part of your problem that you're ignoring. Example, if I'm on the dark side of the moon and I'm building solar panels, there's a flaw to my plan. There's a flaw. I'm not going to have the sunlight. Doesn't matter how much noble or righteousness I am in my cause, it's not there. You have 160,000 cars that drive between Minneapolis and St. Paul on a daily basis on I-94. What are you going to do with them? And you just saying, they'll go away. That's not an answer. What it feels like more, this whole boulevard thing, is a screw everyone else. If you're on 694, Lake Elmo, Vadnais Heights, Lexington, the North Metro, you're going to get a ton of traffic. You're on the south side on 494. You're Woodbury, Invergrove Heights, Newport, Eagan, screw you. You get to take over the traffic. We're going to make it nice for us. Let alone the massive costs that you are going to have to incur to do this. And once again, I like the land bridges. I think we start with that. But this idea that we're just going to turn I-94 into a country road, yeah, that's, I think, a little self-serving. Native Roots Radio is up next. We are back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.